In this episode, you'll discover the most important shadow work question husbands need to ask themselves to set themselves up for success in their marriage transformation journey. So welcome in, Heroic Husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. The three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: number one, you'll understand the root cause behind all your marriage troubles. Number two, you'll have a simple everyday practice to help build your capacity for welcoming happiness and joy into your marriage and life experience. Number three, you'll be able to set a rock solid foundation in your core to support you rebuild the married life of your dreams. This episode has been deeply inspired by my own personal progress and indeed a fuck ton of challenges that I've been having this year. The masculine practice is to practice non-surrender, and I passionately believe in that in married life and in beyond that. It's the one part of the message I want to convey to you guys, is to light that unstoppable fire of your heart, of your soul, that you'll stop at nothing in liberating yourself from the bondage of the bullshit conditioning from this profoundly sick society, and, you know, reconnect with your birthright to get what you want, to be happy, to be fulfilled, to experience radical freedom of your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit in married life and beyond, so you can have a wonderful, awesome, beautiful human experience as a man, as a husband, as a lover, as a dad, and gift the embodiment of that level of fulfillment and freedom to your queen, to your kids, to the seven generations after you. It's my passionate desire to embody that for my queen, but and for my kids and for you guys and my purpose in the world. But I can't do that unless I do it for myself. And that's been a deep challenge. One of the big inspirations in kicking off the podcast in the beginning was this idea: if you want to master something, teach it. So with as much humility as I can bring, it's, you know, I'm constantly learning. And this year, 2025, for me, goes down as being possibly one of the most intensely challenging years of my whole life experience thus far in conscious memory. Radical change in business. We went from the men's circle format to the new format. And hey, change can bring a lot of kickback. There was a lot of supporting guys in that transition, selling that idea. Then in the midst of all of that massive change, it was the biggest business change I had created or led in all my years of entrepreneurial experience. Right smack bang in the middle of that, my dad died, which brought up the grieving process, which brought up the decision not to go to the funeral, which brought up setting a lifelong boundary with my siblings. And in dealing with all of that, my beautiful queen, for her wounds, brought up, you know, several months of deep depression for herself with fears that I would leave her. And in all of this, and possibly inspired mostly by the death of my beloved father, when maybe one of his greatest lessons he taught me was the lesson of own what you fucking want and get what you want before you die. Because in many senses, it's what he didn't do. So it's an uncomfortable gift to receive. But that's the great lesson. I got to work internally and feeling the pain and the grief and hearing for so many years, you know, things that he was saying he wanted to do, but he didn't act on it. He didn't take many steps towards it, and he ultimately met his maker. And powerful man, a beautiful man, an honor. Like, I'm honored and always will be honored, and it was my privilege to count him as my father. And I am the man I am because of him, and I did honor him, you know, in the 6 months before his passing, with a direct, explicit acknowledgement of, I am the man I am because of having you. I can see so much of my character as a man having been gifted from his presence. So it's no lack of gratitude. Yet that was a stinging mirror for me to look at my own life and get real with, are you really getting what you fully want? And are you in some way not speaking to stuff that you don't want? And you'll hear this theme coming up in recent episodes, and it's the theme that's driving the transformation. It's coming and coming quick. The He Wants, She Wants marriage podcast, with synergizing my power with the power of my queen. And man, that's going to be awesome. It's literally just a couple of technical things and getting equipment set for that. That's we're going to be live on air with that early next week. But one of the root parts of my psyche where I had to go, and I believe every man needs to go, and it's a deepening process where you go, you know, from the layers of the onion down to a different, another layer and another layer. I think the death of my dad just gave me the emphasis and the urgency needed emotionally, spiritually, to just go to ground zero. And what I discovered was a really uncomfortable reveal of, Mark, you haven't been getting what you want in marriage. It's been so much better in the last 5-6 years. And it was like, yeah, it's cool and it's awesome, and there's so much communication, and there was improvement and progress in sex life and parenting and, you know, money. And so it was like there was a part of me going, yeah, like it's awesome when compared with what it was before. But the uncomfortable thing was to admit to myself, and it's also true, Mark, that you're nowhere near the fullest expanse of what you truly fucking want. And the most uncomfortable part to sit with, guys, was sitting and accepting that that has nothing to do with my queen on an ultimate level, and all to do with my wound of feeling deserving, that I deserve to be happy as a man. That I deserve happiness, radical happiness. Smile on my face, knowing the universe loves you, Mark. It's got your back. You are deserving to feel happy. And since then, I've brought that question to quite a number of guys in one-on-one, where I'm in direct coaching conversations with them. And I brought it to one of the guys in the Community Kings coaching call. And just this week, that coaching call inspired me to go, yeah, I really need to bring this to the guys in the podcast audience. And the response that I've seen, and I witness in my own nervous system, but what I'm receiving with guys, there's like a mixed bag of sort of like 50% go, they can recognize, yeah, wow, you know, like, Mark, I can feel that there's a part of me doesn't feel like I'm deserving to be happy. And then the other 50% are, yeah, Mark, I feel deserving to be happy. The interesting thing with the second 50% of the guys that say they feel deserving to be happy is, as men, we get tricked by our own minds. It's very simple to grammatically put together that sentence and speak it. Yes. You know, like if you were in front of me and I posed a question, hey, do you feel like you deserve to be happy? It's really easy to go, yeah, Mark, I feel deserving to be happy as a man. The interesting thing is, nearly without any exception, the guys, when they're answering that, their bodies go from profound stillness to sort of being edgy, and a movement happens. And when they're actually saying the words, and I know I've had my version of this with other guys, I've had this reflected back to me, their eyes drop out of connection with my eyes when they're actually answering, yes, I feel deserving to be happy. Our minds, our cranial brain, has this wonderful capacity to say, yeah, I love myself. Yeah, I feel deserving to be happy. Yeah, I'm happy. You know, yeah, yes to whatever. But the body will always give you the telltale signs of whether you truly believe that's truth for you or not. That's where the whole lie detector test idea comes. They literally will ask how lie detector tests work. I know they're controversial devices, but it's based on this neurophysiological underpinning that they measure all your neurophysiological parameters and they ask you several questions that they know are true for you. You know, it's like if they were asking me, it's like, is your name Mark Usher? Yes, my name is Mark Usher. My neurophysiology, my conscious mind and subconscious mind are going to give a baseline neurophysiological measurement on all those parameters for that being a true statement. And then they might ask me about my date of birth. That, again, they set a baseline for what my neurophysiological printout will be for what is true. And then they will ask me, you know, were you there the night of the whatever, you know, when that person was murdered? And no, they haven't asked me that question. But, and if you're lying, well, your neurophysiology will be different for when you're telling something that is off the truth. Or you were where you stated that night and it's true. So our subconscious mind, our body will give signs. And deep down, irrespective of whether you ever get asked that, and I think there's this principle I want to put out to you guys, and it's very important as masculine practitioners to take this on. This is like an absolute reality versus relative reality. Our brains and our rational minds print out relative reality, and you can go with any personalized perception. You know, the rational brain can create whatever fucking story that suits it, ultimately. But from an absolute reality, your body is transmitting a message that's evoking a response from your queen. Your body is transmitting a message from the very beginning of your relationship with your queen, and it has been evoking a response. If you're not getting what you want in your married life experience, no matter what part of it, in general, or Mark, it's actually really happy, but sex life, it's a disaster zone. I'm nowhere near. Or some guys will come, hey, sex life is red hot, man. I feel like a porn star, but we're fighting all the time. I'm not getting what I want there. If in specific pockets of your married life experience or the general overall experience just does not feel fulfilling and you're not feeling happy, what that means from a subconscious perspective is you have a wound in feeling or not feeling that you're deserving to feel happiness as a man. I'm giving it a pause for that to sink in. If you feel a part of your mind is, oh, that's bullshit. Again, it's easy to say that's bullshit. The rational mind will make these simple, trigger-happy declarations from emotional reactivity that isn't owned and will just go, what technically is happening is when we feel a cognitive dissonance where what we believe to be true, conscious mind, and some provocative statement, like I'm this idea that, hey, if you're not getting what you want, like that's on you. There is a wound in you that is not getting, that doesn't feel it deserves to be happy. So it won't behave and speak in a way consistently to get what you feel you deserve is yours. We will experience a cognitive dissonance. What you believe, conscious mind, and what's actually happening, and the rational mind will throw in a statement very quickly. Oh, that's bullshit, Mark, blah, blah, blah. You haven't met my wife. It's whore. She's like wounded. She's this or that. We will make up a story that will justify the conscious stance we're taking in our head. However, I do encourage you to lean into this. Very few men will lean into this, will have the courage and the honesty within themselves to lean in and go, let's see if this is true. You get 1,000 deep men's work practitioners, guys that have been in deep men's work for 20, 30 years, they're going to be like, yeah, man, you're going to find this to be true. You get Carl Jungian trained psychotherapists that work not just in marriage, but with people in their inner world, you know, what's happening inside of themselves. And thus, you know, you create your outs, your external world from the inside out. They will all go, yeah, it's the inconvenient truth of subconscious versus conscious mind. Your world will be created from the subconscious template. And that's why deep shadow work is essential. That's why I do deep shadow work. I don't like speak to guys, oh, just use this strategy. It's deep shadow work to get into your emotional subconscious body. And when you can master from there, then you can actually take back the paintbrush, the conscious paintbrush, that and paint and create a life, a married life, a sex life on your terms. It's not the subconscious that's vomiting it out. It's your conscious mind with mastery of the subconscious. And when you master the subconscious, it's not subconscious anymore. So you expand your realms. But that all comes from having the honesty to go, maybe. You don't have to take it on as an absolute truth, but I encourage you to lean in and be open to the idea that if you're not getting an experience in your married life that helps you feel happy, if you're not happy in your married life, that is coming from some part of you that doesn't feel you deserve to be happy. You don't have to go to psychotherapy. You don't need the 20 PhD style reports on your childhood, but it's all going to be from base beliefs from childhood. Because it gets very practical, and I like the looking at these psychotherapeutic, these Jungian, these shadow work perspectives, archetypal work, and I, just as a masculine practitioner, I like getting black and white with it. It helps me make sense out of what can be the chaos of married life, what can be the chaos of just life outside of marriage, just as a human being. If your nervous system, as it was developing in the womb, outside of the womb, years 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, let's go up to the age of 10, but to say like the first 8, 9 years, they're the formative years when you form your beliefs. Well, if in that time your mom, your dad, your stepdad, the teachers, your siblings, the people around you, that, you know, if the social setup that was in your environment triggered thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times an experience where you viscerally felt in every cell in your body, you matter. People have got your back. You're in the company of people who can handle your fullest expression. If you learned that all the people in your environment would love you unconditionally and accept you as you were, you would have developed an unshakable core belief that you deserve to be happy. And that unshakable belief of you deserving to be happy would have you, from the word go, from the first date, from the first moment you clapped eyes on your queen, from the first conversation, would have had you unapologetically owning, hey, see when you say those things, that's just not nice. And see when you behave like that with other people, that's not cool with me. You would have unapologetically set the conditions, created the causes and conditions for your happiness. And I'm not saying that happy, 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 the Instagram version. I'm talking about a peace of mind. you would have brought your truth. You would have owned what you wanted and what you didn't want, and you never would have felt any hit to your self-esteem, any hit to your concept of who you are as a man. You would never once feel a sense of shame or inadequacy, you know, if your queen got upset. But that's not how it happened for us as a generation of men, as multiple generations of men. We were trained to believe that we weren't inherently deserving of happiness and we had to fight tooth and nail. We were made to believe that we only deserved happiness if we fulfilled the social role of, you know, producing, providing and procreating. It's profoundly sick. It's a savage attack on our fullest personhood, individually and collectively, as a very fucking important part of the human species. We have really been conditioned that we're not deserving of radical happiness, and there's a certain checklist in this profoundly sick society that we've got to tick, and if you tick those and you produce for the company, you produce for your company, and you produce, you know, employment for the nation, for the people around you, oh, you're a producer, well done, you're deserving of happiness, of a raise, of status. And producing for your company or somebody else's company or organization, well, then you can provide for your family. You know, if you provide enough for your family, good car, second car, holidays, you know, pay the kids' tuition, all the clubs, and you have a house, and man, if you can get a holiday home on top of that, you the man. You know, you deserve to feel happy at that point. But that's not a happiness. There's some emptiness in all of that BS. But we've been conditioned that that's the only way to deserving to feel fulfilled as a man. And then procreating, hey, you try to get your bit, do your bit. But what's happening is, because subconsciously we're individually and collectively feeling that we don't actually deserve to be happy, we behaviorally show up in our marriage and we self-sabotage our own happiness. You'll find there's moments when, if there was a video camera, like really just tapped in over your shoulder, and you know, you had 1,000 psychotherapists, deep men's work, or just me humbly there looking at it, I know it would feel very Big Brother-like, but if you had that type of recording, and you know, there was a recording of all the conversations, and as relationship sociologists were doing a breakdown of it. I mean, the Gottman Institute, John Gottman, has done that. It's like literally cameras and the neurophysiological markers on people's skin and bodies, and like has measured them scientifically to the nth degree, and can predict how a conversation will go, will end after just 3 minutes, can predict within like one conversation of a couple being together, they can predict the divorce rate in the next 5 years to like a 96% level of accuracy. What I encourage you to take upon yourself and deep inside of yourself is, all of this has been directed by a wound of not feeling that you deserve happiness. Now, the good news in all of this, because it's one thing to do a deep dive going, Mark, yeah, thanks for making me feel like crap. It's like, so it's all on me and I'm wounded. Like, WTF, dude. There's good news. But the good news can only be received by men that will get honest. You can hide out from the cognitive dissonance, and maybe a lot of you have already, you know, just pressed like fuck this episode and maybe screw this podcast. I don't want to listen to this type of shit. I want an easy fix. But for the powerful heart warriors in you that are still listening, going, okay, well, what solutions are there? Well, the solution is based on the foundation that you build of being honest with yourself and taking it on the chin, going with the principle of shadow work, of absolute reality, that if you're not getting what you want, if you're not happy in relationship, that from an absolute reality, that's masculine practice, you lean into the strong possibility with an open-minded beginner's mindset that means some part of you is not feeling deserving. You need to have that honesty for the solution to actually work. And then I would encourage you to start looking at mini steps. Start feeling into your reality on a day-to-day basis and find mini opportunities where you can consciously express ways of what you deserve to experience as a man. And some of this can be in marriage. Like the ultimate practice in this, and I don't want you to hide from this, the ultimate practice is to get real within yourself and then get real with your queen and go, hey, I deserve to feel like I matter in marriage. And if you're not feeling like you matter in marriage, you speak it to her and you lead that conversation. And that's going to be a conversation possibly for a lifetime. It's an intense one, but you lead that. I deserve to feel like somebody has got my back. These four statements are the foundational attachment wounds. The wound of feeling like your queen doesn't have your back. Well, your way of leaning in on that is, baby, I deserve to feel that someone has got my back, and I deserve to feel you've got my back when you're speaking with your parents, and I don't feel that. I'm talking about certain things with myself and Matilda. Like, I deserve to feel you've got my back when you're speaking with your family. That was a distinct thing that I was speaking to her in recent months. I was taking ownership for a long period of time of having her back with my family, but I could feel a distinct double standards. So that was one big part for me. I deserve that you have my back when you're fucking talking with your family. You deserve to feel that in the company of people, you'd be in the company of people who can handle your fullest expression. Well, if you don't feel your queen is handling your fullest expression, you can own that desire. You can own that you deserve to feel that she would hold space for your fullest expression. And tell her what parts of your expression she continually shuts down, she continually criticizes, she continually just stonewalls and ends the conversation. And then, I'm worthy of being treated in a loving manner, that you're lovable. I deserve to feel that I'm lovable. And own, I don't want you to act like this in these moments. That feels unlovable to me, and I deserve to feel lovable. So they're the big steps. And that's quite an intense conversation. And kudos to you. Take that on. I'm more encouraging mini steps in this, because quite a number of guys, you need to build that deserving muscle. Mini steps can be like, purchase something for the joy of knowing you deserve the experience that comes with that purchase. The guy that was on the coaching call, and I shared an experience with him, during the summer gone by, I had a lot of wounding of not feeling deserving of purchasing anything just for me. If it wasn't for the good of the entire family, like, that just was selfish and wrong. I was buying what maybe to some of you would be a simple thing, but with my wounding explicitly on the purchasing of goods for myself, my wound of not feeling deserving of happiness manifested. Guys, I was buying a pair of what for me were top end Oakley sunglasses, really super cool, I don't know, $200-$250. And there was a part of me that when I was making that purchase, I felt the need to slow down. And there was a part of me feeling like there was tears coming to the back of my eyes. And that was really me and my psyche feeling, this has become such a morally wrong thing to do in your childhood. I remembered moments where, I went on a trip to France in my secondary school days, and my mom and dad, they gave me enough money that, I wouldn't get stranded out there, or like I had a couple of hundred euro on me, and I decided that I'd buy like a French rugby top. I thought it was cool as fuck, and it was, 65-70 euro at the time. My parents didn't have a lot of money, but they had given me the money to go. So when I came back, I remember being made feel, I felt really small. My mother is like, oh, you got that? Why'd you get that? And immediately, why? You know, like, why not? was the real answer. But it's like, why'd you get that? Why'd you need that? How much was it? 70. Oh, and then this look of, oh, did you really need to get that? You know, were your other tops not good enough? And I remember the joy of getting it was slaughtered when I came home, because it was made, I was made feel that it was this immoral thing. It was a wrong thing. It was selfish. Like, why would you spend money on that? Like things are hard enough to come by. It's like, you didn't really need that. And it just blackened my whole relationship with that jersey. So me buying the pair of Oakley glasses was bringing back up a lifetime of being made feel that that was wrong. And I know myself, guys, from a subconscious perspective, I had got so triggered down the years when I'd be semi-owning and tap dancing around wanting to buy something, and then I would get pissy with Matilda when she didn't support it. What I now know is, well, that was my wound of not feeling I was deserving of it that was sending out a message that was subconsciously recreating my childhood experiences. So I got the glasses, and I ended up, I shared with my queen in the car, and she held space for it, and it was a really beautiful learning for me. And she told me it was really validating for her, because she could finally understand what the hell was going on for 17 years. Anytime I wanted to buy something and I'd shut down, or I'd stonewall, or I'd treat her badly. She was like, okay, well, that makes sense. If that's what your human experience was growing up, and that has been playing out in you subconsciously, it's like, it makes sense. The guy during the week, one simple step for him, and he had taken it by himself in a week or two before the coaching experience, but he said, like, for the first time in 40 years of working hard, building his career, he went out and he got a breakfast out. And again, it's like, you're all going to have different versions of this. Some of you could snort at the buying sunglasses idea. Some of you can snort and turn your nose up and go, oh, for fuck's sake, just buying, you know, a breakfast out, that's nothing. Maybe, like, every guy is going to have his own manifestations of not feeling deserving of happiness. This guy, it was a wonderful thing. First time in 40 years, is like, went out, I allowed myself, you know, get my breakfast out. And part of the challenge to him from me was, okay, well, when are you going to do it again? And we brought a humor into it, but I did challenge him to build in to get, you know, get the breakfast, but make sure you get it in a place where people love you up, where people respect you, where the customer service is really honoring. That's another mini challenge I would set to you, is what are some experiences in your day-to-day life, in your environment, where there are services, you know, of people that can create a really beautiful human experience where you feel nourished, you feel honored, you feel loved up, and loved up clearly in an appropriate way, but where all your attachment needs are met. Like, an obvious one is like a spa treatment, where there is the whole point of why people go to a spa. And it's such a classic thing, like, it's not a manly thing. You're just like, God, go to spa. That's just what women do. Like, what could be more beautiful than, you're working hard, you're playing hard, you're showing up as a husband, you're showing up as a dad, you're showing up in your work, and to go, I fucking deserve to create 60 minutes, 2 hours. Man, you go all out. You get a half day, you get a full day for yourself. What could be something that could nudge your edge of actually practicing beyond those hard macho man style, you know, I tend to myself by just going out, getting fucking drunk with the guys, or just like, there's all of these acceptable things to do as a man. But something that really softens you and gets you into your body and creates this, like, the warmth and the love and the feeling of being held, and human touch is such a powerful thing. One thing I've done in the last 6 months and in this whole unfoldment was, I reached out to a guy locally that did body work, And I started getting massages and went back for Reiki treatment. And when he comes back from his travels, I'm going to go over. He has a whole sauna, and I'll do like a cold lake dip and go into the sauna and then get body work and breath work done afterwards. One learning I had with that was, and now when I'm mid episode, I'm reflecting on it. When I reached out for the massage, a part of me was going, oh, I deserve to feel good and feel supported. And do you know what package I got day one with him? It was one that was like this vigorous, super fucking hard, deep tissue massage. And man, it broke me in fucking 10 bits. Like, I didn't go for the nice, easy one, which would have been nourishing. I went with the manly, yeah, you're going to get a massage. But I really believe, guys, it was like the wound of undeserving sort of felt. You don't deserve the easy, super soft one that will actually feel really fucking beautiful in your body. No, you need to do the manly, like the type of treatment that a top-end rugby player would get. And yeah, it released my psoas muscle and I was in severe pain. And ultimately, I'm feeling much better as a result of that. But I went with the super hard macho fucking option when a part of me actually really just wanted the super calm, relaxing, that just feels good experience. I got that the second time with him and it was way more fulfilling. So I'm setting that as a challenge. Over the holiday season, you get some time off work. I set you the challenge of purchasing something that feels really good for you. Having a nice meal out by yourself. Go for a cup of coffee, you know, by yourself and get the fucking more expensive one. Get the more elaborate one that just, you're like, you know, screw the budget for a moment. You deserve to have the nicest experience and have it in a place that is nice. It's warm. It looks good. If it can be overlooking, I don't know, an ocean, the sea, some nice scenery, so that you really honor that you deserve to be loved up, to be held by humans, to have a lovely human experience. Attachment needs food. Good food is always a really great one. Or the edge one. Go to a spa treatment place. Go get some Reiki. Get some relaxing massage body work done that is warm. There's touch. It just feels really nourishing to the depths of your being. Why? Because you fucking deserve it. And there's a ton of other different mini steps that you can take. Have that pulsating in the back of your mind. I deserve to be happy. What would I do today? What can I do today to really act on that belief? I deserve to be happy. I deserve to feel good in my body. I deserve to feel good and connected in my marriage. I deserve to feel happy. What can I do today to let myself know explicitly, yes, I'm behaving in alignment with that belief? One powerful way for some of you guys is to lean in on this offer that is open for just 2 more weeks. I mean, saying it in recent weeks, I'm raising my fees from 5,000 to 20,000 from January 1st, 2026. Really, don't miss your best ever moment to access one-on-one coaching with me. I've experienced a sharp rise in applications in the last week as a result of this offer has been out for the last month or so. And that means I only have 2 spaces left at this price. Book your free intro call now and enter 2026 in prime position to be in hero husband status within 2 or 3 months, whilst saving 15,000 euro. You deserve to invest in feeling radically happy in marriage, period. You deserve it, man. There's no other argument. You fucking deserve it. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.